as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 in Texas. Us at the same number. Sandy Williams is still here. You know, Sandy, I'm sitting there listening to Diana Ross and the Supremes, and that sounds just like yesterday, you know, when they first showed up on Ed Sullivan. And it's 50-some-odd years
ago. It's amazing how durable all that music was. You know, all the music we grew up with is still being listened to. I've got grandchildren, and they were sitting listening to Rolling Stones, you know, and loving it. And yeah.
You know, I often tell young people about all of that music during our times. And here we are, you know, I don't know, we're seasoned people. And it still sounds as good as it did. And I'm probably sure my parents felt the same way about their music in their generation.
Yeah, but we didn't. We were not listening.
No, I know.
No, but I mean, we were not listening to our parents' music.
Right.
And my grandchildren are listening to their grandparents' music. So there was a durability that was built into the rock and roll. What happened after 1960 was a big deal in terms of what it did the music world. And I suspect, you know, I'm a codger, right? But I don't think that rap is going to have the same durability because it's too temporal in nature in terms of what's being said in it, and how many parts of the human sensory perceptions it grabs a hold of. Music grabs a hold of, you know, the melodic side, the lyrical side. It's got a rhythmic aspect to it, and I just think that it grabs more of our sensations than possibly.
So I've had this conversation with so many young people, and over the years, and I said, listen, I don't quite believe that.
Well, of course, our grandparents didn't think our music would endure. Well, so the fact that I'm not thinking it is not dispositive at all. I'm just predicting it, but I don't know.
So it's hard for me to believe that when my son gets to be 68 years of age, he's still going to be grooving the Snoop Doggy Dog. I just, you know, I mean, you know, maybe I don't think, you know, but clearly a lot of the music that's being played now is being commercials are bringing that stuff back. And so you hear it even constantly more and more and more. Younger people get a chance to hear the melodies, as you stated, and all of those things. And it just continues to move forward. But that was just an aside.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the Donald Trump phenomena. I purposely have not been talking about Donald Trump. Do you remember back when Donald Trump lost, I made a statement and I said, listen, we're not going to be talking about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is done. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time.
He gives me acid reflux.
Talking about Donald Trump because, you know, he takes over everything. And why would we give him that much attention? So I purposely have ignored that public theater that's Donald Trump. But you do get to a point where you keep wondering why all these people, although that's getting smaller and smaller, are still hanging on to him. Could it be a cult?
Well, we say it's getting smaller and smaller, but I've just read an article that suggested that the number of politicians on the right who feel compelled to go and present themselves to him and be anointed or whatever happens in Mar-a-Lago. I don't even want to know what happens in Mar-a-Lago. It's fundamental. It seems to be fundamental to Republican candidates. Every Republican candidate has to decide whether they are pro-Trump or anti-Trump. And the number of Republican candidates who've been willing to stake their future on being anti-Trump remains still a very small number. So who is Donald Trump? I don't know. Who was Rasputin?
you know, Mitch McConnell walks a thin line when it comes to Donald Trump. He certainly knows that Trump doesn't have the power that he once had. He's leery.
Well, he doesn't sit in the president's office, so he lacks that power.
Right.
But I think the Republican Party is still trying to figure out how much power he has within the party. And it's clear that he can't endorse a candidate anywhere in the United States and have his candidates prevail. But that might have more to do with the place of that candidate's running rather than the power that Trump seems to have with his base.
So long term, Sandy, this Republican Party that we see that is debating and arguing about using the term gay, a bunch of wasted time trying to convince people what they should say and what they shouldn't say, and as if that somehow, that I should somehow be concerned about a LGBTQ? Yeah.
LGBTQ.
LGBTQ.
Oh, yeah. ABC.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
but that somehow should be something I should be concerned about in my life.
Well, this is what troubles me about and I would lay this to the feet, ultimately, I guess, of the religious right. Who else would have gotten stirred up all this foment about what people do in the privacy of their lives with their sexual preferences? But it strikes me as a totally irrelevant subject for a whole culture to be fascinated with. And the fact that we are fascinated with it distracts us from so many things which are actually important. And, you know, I'm not minimizing the rights of the LGBTQ community to have their privacy and be able to be honored and respected in whatever choices they make. They should have that. What I am questioning is, why in the world does everyone else care? You know, and if we could get over caring and make it the matter that of unimportance that it should have, then it wouldn't have any importance at all. People wouldn't worry about it. You know,
it's not my business.
No, and it's not, you know, and the right seems to feel like it's, number one, some kind of contagion, and two, that it's a bad contagion. Two judgments, one a scientific judgment which has no basis in fact whatsoever, and the other one a moral judgment which has no place.
So, Sandy, here, who do we have on the line, Sam?
L.A. Tom's calling in.
L.A. Tom. Hey, Tom, I want you to hang on, man, because we're up against the break, man. We'll come to you on the other side. But I want to just say, Sandy, that goes right to this article again. Has too much religion and not enough science doomed the U.S. as a civilized country. And when people contemplate the decline and fall of America, they usually find comparisons on the collapse of the British or Roman empires. However, the decline of the Islamic world as an intellectual superpower has also lessons for us. While the European world was stumbling through the dark ages in the Middle East, literature, science, and mathematics flourished. The intellectual ascendancy is evidenced by the number of English scientific terms that came from the Arabic words, such as chemistry, algebra, zero, algorithm, and zenith. And the fact that two-thirds of all the names stars have Arabic names is a tribute to the navigational skills of the Islamic sailors. The point, Sandy, is our affinity for religion, and that our religion is the best.
Well,
the only, and we've got to go to a break. When we come back,
just Galileo. I'll say that before we go to break, and we can come back.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.